This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and as always, I'm so thrilled and honored to be able to come to you guys week after week and have all of you be participators in this great podcast, because I know sometimes we'll take new subjects and sometimes just even taboo subjects, and we'll break them down and just dissect them and figure out what we can pull from that from the kingdom of God. And I love doing that with all my friends. And many of you have emailed our customer service and told us, hey, you know, Jeremy, what about if you did a podcast on this or that? You know, I'd love to be able to see, you know, what you think about this, or is this in the Bible, or, you know, is this something we can, you know, put into motion for our lives? And so I love the challenge. So any of you guys that have maybe themes or topics, my staff and I will sort of choose from some of them, and as we get the emails, and just sort of weigh it out and see exactly maybe which ones fit the podcast, and we'll talk about it. I'll be glad to talk about it. You know, so definitely send in your questions, you know, and what you'd like to hear me talk about, and we'll see what we can do. All right. So, by the way, today I want to talk about where is God in energy? Where is God in energy? And the reason why, because many of you who follow this ministry understand that my brand new book on Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club, which is for those who are in my book club every month, who gets my books first and foremost before anyone else does, that this month's book in June is actually called Energy, Where is God in It? Now, in Christianity, we don't see hardly any books, if not even just one, on the subject of energy. Because I think sometimes people are scared to tap into it, you know, scared of what people might think about it. Or when we talk about energy, can we actually use a scientific term of energy? Because, you know, New Agers use it, spirituality uses it, and Buddhists use the word energy. And, you know, my thing is this, if people are using the words, then why don't we use the word? Hello? You know, I mean, if we know everything in the universe is energy slowed down into matter, then shouldn't we be concerned with everything that we are, everything that we that's all around us, including ourselves, being energy? Isn't it important enough to talk about? I mean, hello, people. You know, and so I'm not afraid to touch those topics. I think some Christians are, but I'm not afraid to do it, because I believe in the fact that God is in all things. The Bible makes it very plain. And so that's why I believe in attraction. I believe in law of attraction. I believe in magnetism, of us being like magnets, attracting things from our thought realm, which is covered all through the Bible. But I also deal with the fact of energy, because the word energy actually comes from the word energio, which actually is in the Bible, folks. Did you know that? So we're dealing with terms that most people say, ooh, that sounds New Age. And I say, you know what? If the word energy is New Age, then the Bible is 101% New Age. The Bible is like New Age to the fullest, all right? If that's what people think. Because of the fact that we can't write off things just because some term, a coin term called New Age or Law of Attraction, you know, is just sort of, you know, coming up with teachings that happen to be also, some of them happen to be a little scriptural. I mean, so no, I'm not afraid to get my feet wet in subjects. I think it's great that we do. I think Christians as a whole should actually be the ones that are challenging each other, because iron sharpens iron. We should be the ones challenging each other to sort of take a step of faith, walk on the water, step out on a limb, for example, you know, walk the plank and just dive into it by faith, because we should be those kind of people. And so on this month, my book of the month is called Energy, Where is God in It? And I want to, first of all, say I want to encourage every one of you who are not on the book club, get involved right now. If you get involved right now, then you'll get this book sent out today to you in the mail, autographed. And you'll be able to receive every book as they come out every month, just shipped to your door or mailbox, whatever. And I've got some powerful subjects coming up, folks. I'm not kidding. And most of you who are in the book club know that the months we do workbooks and study guides, well, they get it free. I mean, they get the things that most people pay $12.99 for free, included with the book that comes out that month. So you're getting a $12.99 value free of a workbook or study guide as I send them out. And usually it's either every 2 or 3 months, we will do a study guide or a workbook with it. So I'm telling you, folks, if you truly are smart people who want to save money, then you'll get on the book club. If you want to waste money, hey, you know what? Then just buy them separately. You know, no offense. We have them on sale still on the website, but I'm just saying. And so what I'd like for you guys to do today is I want to take a journey with you on the subject of energy, okay? Because one of the things that the people don't really realize is, and some of the chapters in this book, for example, the first chapter deals with illumination. Now, illumination is a great word because we don't really stop to think what the word illumination is and what it represents. And I will tell you, on the podcast, I'm not going to go too deep with the subject because I want to leave a lot of stuff up to mystery and secret for you guys to want to get the book and dive into the part that is in depth of what these words truly mean in its original language. And also, let me just say something just for those of you who may not know this, okay? You can't really find the original words within the Greek language. I mean, back in the day, they did not actually even want the Hebrew language, okay, in which the Bible is truly written in, or excuse me, Aramaic, my fault. They didn't really want the Aramaic translated into Greek because there's such a diversity within its language and within its definitions. And so you really can't go by just the words that deal with those in Greek, because the truth is, those that deal in the Greek language, they think they have an idea of what these words mean in the Bible. They really don't. And Aramaic language is very complicated, but yet it's also very diverse from Greek, so we have to be able to figure it out. Most people, let me back up on this subject as well, most people are under the impression that the Bible is written in Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek. That's not true. Jesus spoke Aramaic, and what that means is the Old Testament and the New Testament was originally written in Aramaic, and then later translated into Greek, New Testament, and then later translated in Hebrew for Old Testament. Now, I do have an ebook on that on the website of identitynetwork.net about the original language. If you want, if many of you want to download that ebook, I would say definitely do that. It will give you a little bit more enlightenment on the subject. So when we deal with the word illumination, illumination actually is, it, within its definition, I want to explain something to each one of you, okay? Within its definition of illumination, most people would probably write off the word being a little bit more new age, new agey, as I say, on the word illumination, because the Greek word really doesn't give the best definition for what the word illumination means. Now, illumination actually can represent the part of enlightenment. Did you know that illumination and enlightenment are actually two words that are synonymous with one another that people don't tend to really understand? And so we don't want people ignorant of what we call the enemy's devices, which means when we tend to overlook these words such as metaphysics, energy, frequency, vibration, we don't stop to realize that these words actually are likened unto original Aramaic words, not by some New Ager, not by some preacher in church that's Baptist or charismatic, or not some, you know, psychic or medium or whatever you think is an extremity in any type of world, okay? So that's why I'm just bringing some extremities to people, because for me, I say, you know what? Words are words, folks, okay? It doesn't matter who uses them. If a psychic uses it or a Christian uses it, you got to know what the word actually means, because of the fact if you don't, you'll write it off and think that word actually belongs to this person or that religion or that, you know, sect of, you know, belief system. And no offense, folks, but that's very, very ignorance at its truest core. You don't want to be ignorant of these devices that actually can lock you in, and instead of letting these words of the original language set you free to have a bigger meaning, to understand really the God in which we serve. And so we have to be able to understand whether it is, once again, if it's a medium that's way over here in left field that you people say, oh my God, we don't believe in mediums, they're New Age, or it's a preacher way over here in this extreme of Christianity in the Baptist church. It doesn't matter. Neither one of them actually changed the original definition of words. Neither one of them do. They both use the word because they tend to see it from the angle in which they feel the definition, you know, is maybe a derivative of. But the truth is, we have to be careful and not write off words because, well, this medium used this word and this preacher doesn't use this word because he knows the medium or the psychic or the spiritualist use this word, so we don't use it because they use it. Think about how ignorant. No offense, folks, please forgive me, but think about what a stupid statement that is, really. What a really ignorant, stupid statement that is. Because if somebody uses a word and understands its practice of the word and its definition, doesn't mean they own the word. Hello, folks. It means they've obviously beat you to it because you're too busy trying to be religious and full of traditions that make the Word of God, check this out, folks, listen to me now, that make the Word of God of none effect. So therefore, if someone doesn't understand the original language in the Aramaic language of a certain word, and they're saying, well, this psychic, this medium's using this word, therefore I'm not going to use the word because I'm a Christian. Well, here's what's the deal. What if they understand the original language of what these words represent? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But just because they do, does that mean you're going to write it off? Because the truth is, if you were too religious and traditional minded, then what if that word of God that's made of none effect is trying to set you free, but you don't allow it to set you free because of the ignorance and more offense, once again, so sorry for using the word, and stupidity for writing something off because your tribe in your Christian community doesn't use the word? Then what if your tradition that has blocked the meaning of that word and definition of the authenticity of that word that was meant to set you free, okay? What if that has now become a tradition? So therefore, does that word of God, within the definition of what it really means in the original Aramaic language, guess what? Then that means it's made of none effect to you. You can't absorb its power. You can't absorb its definition. Therefore, you can't put it into practice. Therefore, you can't put it into motion. Therefore, you can't be able to distribute it within your everyday affairs and use it and its fullness to set you free from what God meant it to be. Think about that for a moment, folks. I want everyone to think about that for a moment. So, no, we can't write off words just because my church doesn't use that word. My preacher. I don't care about your preacher. No offense, folks. I don't. And because everybody sees in part and prophesies in part. And there's not one person on this planet who understands the word of God in its fullest form. No one. My preacher's got, I go to church, it's the largest church in the world. I don't care. If you're influenced by numbers, then you're too busy influencing by materialistic goods. If you're too influenced by numbers, you're too busy influencing by the popularity of something versus its true meaning of authenticity. If one person discovers the truth in its original form of what a word means, and your preacher of 10,000 people don't, guess what? Does it mean that one person's in the wrong? No, because it's not a popular theory or belief? No. Just because something's not widespread doesn't make it a lack of truth, folks. And it's time we come out from among those thinkings and be separate, says the Lord. All right? So, illumination is likened to that of enlightenment. Illumination, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter, which means it's illuminated. There's an illumination that takes place that actually causes an evolving and also a growth within that thing of a twinkling of an eye. That's when the Bible says in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, which means a twinkling of your eye literally means revelation. It means when my eye twinkles with revelation. In other words, when I become enlightened, when I become illuminated by a certain subject, it triggers and the my eyes twinkle with a revelation. Just like when a woman is pregnant, some people say, "Oh wow, you're glowing." Well, I wonder why. They're illuminated by the thing in which they're impregnated by, or with, I should say. Are you with me? What they're impregnated with. And so with what is inside of them causes obviously a glow or illumination. Most people would write this off and say this, "Oh, aura, that sounds like an aura." No, people don't have colors around them, Jeremy. No, that's auras. New Agers use that. I beg to differ. God uses the rainbow. God uses colors. God uses all. In fact, the throne of grace is filled full of colors in heaven. So you've got colors. You know, the rubies and the diamonds and jewels and stuff on the priest's garment in the Old Testament was full of colors. Colors were created by God. And the colors actually is something that your body puts off. If you bend light, you have color. Look through a prism. Is that New Age? Does that mean that the prism itself creates and forms a religion? Does the prism itself create and form a sect or a cult or whatever you want to call it? I don't like to call anything because of the fact I think it's just sort of wrong to do. When maybe I haven't discovered the truth within that thing that needs to set me free in a positive or a negative way. So why write off the stuff? When God could use things all the time in my life, or things I'm against, and set me free with the truth, once I'm illuminated, enlightened, my eye twinkles with the revelation of that situation, right? So the prism, for example, bends light, and yet light and energy are synonymous with one another. So I'm basically light slowed down into matter. I'm energy slash light slowed down into matter. So am I full of colors? Absolutely, I'm full of colors. We can prove it. How many remember the mood rings? Now, I don't know how old many of you guys are, but in the 70s, in early 80s, more or less, and it was more of a 60s, 70s thing. You know, if you had a mood ring, M-O-O-D, mood ring, which means they still have them out today, and you can find some of these little stores, you know, but you slide on the ring, and according to your mood, it actually changes the color of that stone on the ring. And it's actually, when I was a kid, I was like, man, how cool is this? If I'm in this mood, it changes into this color. If I'm in that mood, it changes into that color. You know, but the thing, it was cool. But you have to remember that things in our body actually do illuminate light and do illuminate colors. So we have to come to that understanding. Now also, when we deal with illumination, we deal with a lot of different things, once again, that deals with even within the ancient parts of Greece, that deals with certain things of medicines and different things of how illumination plays a big part within that. Now, there's also a word that Aaron used. I'll give you a quote from my book. It says, when the wilderness tabernacle of Moses was dedicated, the scriptures state that the glory of God was so strong and so forceful that neither Moses nor his brother Aaron could even stand under the heavy weight or the chabad of the glory. That's what it means. There was a literal force being exerted from within the glory. Jewish mystics of old also refer to the glory as being visible and able to be seen with the natural naked eye, called the Shekinah, which we've heard, get the word Shekinah glory. And then some religious and historic scholars have even gone as far as to interpret certain texts from within the Talmud to mean that the Ark of the Covenant of God was actually able to float and to levitate. I mean, folks, we're dealing with a lot of stuff within Christianity. A lot of stuff that's mixed into the mystery of the ancients. And we can't neglect that, folks. What the problem with most of us is we're too busy westernizing the whole world, and because we think America is the best country on the planet. That's pride. Pride cometh before fall. You can't expect a culture to overweigh and outrule every other culture on planet Earth. That's wrong to do. And believe it or not, Jesus was not American. He wasn't white, and he wasn't Western. Okay, he was Eastern. Within the Eastern religions, there was a lot of power and a lot of things. There's a lot of traditions that even early Christians still adapted to, because they didn't know if we adapt to this, we throw them out, you know, or do we not, you know? So there's a lot of things there we don't understand. I also talk about within the book the energy of faith. When you deal even with spiritual giftings, did you know spiritual giftings, actually, the original word for that is an energy? Did you know that? So there's an energy of giftings within us. Spirit of prophecy, energy, energia, it's energy. You know, gifts of the Spirit, actually, in its original language, is a force that is like that is the energy of it. And so the Holy Spirit exudes the energy of God. Are you with me? And so there's another chapter within the book called Tangible Transfers. Oh my gosh, one of my favorites. Tangible Transfers. You guys are going to love this when you get in that chapter. Another one is The Spirit in Science. You know, science has come to the realization of a lot of powerful things. Quantum physics, a lot of things of energy, matter, light, frequency, vibration, how the universe actually has this almost just musical tone throughout it. I mean, you deal with a lot of things that science is discovering, and folks, science and spirituality was never meant to be separated. Back in the day, it wasn't. Until one point within history when they began to separate it, and then they considered science to be an evil, evil thing. But the thing we have to understand is the discovery of science evil? When the Bible says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you, is that a universal scripture principle, or is it just set aside for just Christians? When the Bible says it rains upon the just and the unjust, so do we or do we not take the Bible as us for no more? You know, it's my little tribe, not yours. Stay away. You know, you got to be one of us to get it. I think it's very, honestly, almost demented, and I think it's very twisted, a mentality, because everybody wants to be a part of something. Everybody does. But yet those who feel like they're a part of Christianity feel as if it's for them and no one else. And in order for you to get into this thing, you got to become one of us. I don't agree with that at all. I don't feel as if that we hold the us for no more mentality. The Word of God was given to the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So yes, the Word of God that rains upon the just and the unjust is not for just us. The Bible makes it plain about vessels, that there are vessels that are fit and there's vessels that are broken. And both of them are used by God. So when we look at this situation, we realize that there is a asking, seeking, and a knocking within science, because anyone on planet Earth is that's part of the universe of God, which we all are, you know, can dive into the fact that science is seeking. When science seeks, they're going to find what they're looking for. When we're seeking for an answer for cancer, we're going to find what we're looking for. Because the more we ask, we seek, we knock, the door's going to be open for that. And that doesn't mean just God or the heavens. It means anything in creation. Traditions don't hold its value just within Christianity. Traditions hold its value within, when I say value, more of a negative value, within every religion on planet Earth. Every religion with its traditions makes the freedom, the word spoken, whether it is spoken, whether it's written, whatever, make it some non-effect, which means it's hard to begin to experience the freedom of unlimitedness versus the limitation that traditions put you in, and almost like puts you under in this anesthesia type of mentality where you're sort of asleep in the light. And so you have to understand that when we deal with this kind of stuff, we're dealing with the fact that traditions are not just in other religions or people. Traditions are probably more embedded within Christianity than any quote-unquote religion on planet Earth. And yet we're the ones that should be the smartest, the wisest, the seekers of truth, the seekers of life. Most people don't want to be seekers. Most people want to sit down, let their pastor teach them, and refuse for the energy within them that's the seeking ability. And seeking actually is a verb of constant flow, of looking, discovering, finding, you know, evolving. And yet Christians should be the number one that deals with that. Yet we're not. Most people sit still and say, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that, and they cultivate a belief. And when you say, I don't believe in this, 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 what you're saying is, I'm putting a boundary up, a wall, that I don't want to learn anything else more about this subject or situation. I don't know what scares you. Maybe you're scared you'll find out other truths that maybe will set you free, that will actually break down other truths that you have, that you thought were your truths, break those things down, and realize that maybe your whole belief system is falling apart because you believe something that wasn't true, and you build a wall of a belief that actually held you, bound you, and kept you from a evolving progressiveness of the truth of God that is meant to set you free. The Bible says the truth sets you free, which means it's actually evolving, breaking down barriers within your life. The more you stop the evolutionary process of truth taking place within your life, the more you're going to begin to find the limitation of a wall being put up. And guess what? You will see where the Word of God will stop and its effects of transitioning to you to freedom and liberty and keeping you into a place of bondage. Because the word of the Lord, the Bible says, is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is a sword. Swords can either protect you or they can cut you and kill you. So can the word of God kill you? Sure can. Can the word of God also, and that's what it means. The word of God makes it of none effect, which means you suck the life out of it and there's no life there. And what's the opposite of life? Death. The law brings death. The Spirit brings life. So can the Word of God hurt you and kill you? 101% can. Can the Word of God bring life to you and set you free? Absolutely it can. So that's why just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you don't know how to wield that sword. Because it's obviously hurting you and killing you. The more of boundaries and walls you put up in your belief system, saying, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in this, the more you declare that, the more you're saying that I'm stubborn. I refuse to hear anything else that would challenge me, because iron sharpens iron. I don't want to be challenged, I don't want to be sharpened, and I don't want to be pushed in the corner to not only back up what I feel I believe, but reevaluate what I believe and see if what I believe is the real thing. And is there other branches outside of my belief that is trying to move me from glory to glory? And most people thrive on, I'm going from glory to glory, hallelujah. And yet the thing is, though, they're not moving, they're not budging, not going anywhere. They keep on regurgitating, put another way, they keep on vomiting up the same garbage of their own traditions over and over again. It just becomes repackaged as they eat it again. And they think they're just going higher and further and deeper, when really all you're doing is regurgitating, eating the same thing over and over again. It's just being packaged differently every time you're taking it in. That's it. All right, hello. I'm talking to the choir here, folks, because I know I am. All right. Also within the Book of Energy, I deal with frequency and vibration, and I deal with the miraculous mind. Very important we understand exactly the mind of thought, because thoughts are energy. And once again, let me rephrase this just for those who really don't understand, okay? We are not talking about a religion. We are talking about thoughts. Thoughts are energy. Energy is what we are, every one of us. And so your thoughts are energy, and energy must flow. Therefore, wherever you send forth your thoughts, it gives life or death to where you're sending your thoughts into, all right, every single time. Everything in this universe is nothing more than seeds being planted. And we know that by a natural man and woman getting together, there's a seed. There's a seed right there, all right? So because of that, the seed and the egg mix and it creates. So everything you do, everything you think, everything you're becoming, everything that you was is creating something constantly because everything is evolving or expanding energy in this world. So I want to encourage you guys. I didn't even touch on anything pretty much in the book because I didn't want to get deep in the book to really be able to give you guys the deeper meanings and definitions of what these words mean. But I want to highly encourage each one of you. Do not neglect this book. This book, trust me, will set you free completely on the power of energy. I asked my nephew something yesterday. It was his birthday. Went over him and his wife's house, and my family did, and you know, playing with the son and stuff, and we're talking. I said, you know, he said, and they call me Uncle Jay. Uncle Jay, how's your book going? And, you know, I said, it's going great. My new book just came out on energy. Oh, man. And he looks at me, been raised in church all of his life, looks at me and says, because God is energy. I know that. And I said, exactly right. Exactly right, Cody. Because God is energy, and energy is God. And God doesn't withhold himself or hold himself just to a term of energy. God takes it out of that and gets out of the word energy and says, yes, I am energy, but I'm also more. I'm also light. I'm also more. I'm also illumination. I'm also more. I'm also frequency. And I'm also more. I'm also father. And I'm also more. I'm also friend. And I'm also more. And I'm Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, you know, Elohim, Jesus. All these terms, all these words, and yet we have a problem with calling God divine source. We have a problem with calling God light. We have a problem with calling God energy. But yet God himself, even with just in the Bible, doesn't even call himself by one name, but many terms, many names. Why? Because he's showing the perspective side, or for us and our perspectiveness, of a different angle of the power of who God is. And what he has, and what he and what he brings out of him to all creation. So therefore, can God be the mother to the motherless? Why not? God created male and female. All right, you can't create something really unless it comes out of you. You know, and we see that example from Eve coming out of Adam. So when we see Eve coming out of Adam, you know, taking the rib out, we're seeing God. What we're seeing is we're seeing God take out of himself everything else. In the New Testament, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. And we liken that into God sort of splitting himself into five different departments and throwing down to earth the office of the apostle, the office of the prophet, the office of the evangelist, and the teacher. And we see God doing these things, right? Because God distributes himself and breaks it himself down into creation. Therefore, when he speaks out of his mouth, which comes from the heart, the Bible says, then something comes from within God, and without and within in his mouth, and comes from within and externalizes it outwardly into this world, into this universe. So yes, we see that from breathing air. We inhale and we exhale. God exhaled into the universe, all of the universe. And one day God will inhale the entire universe back into himself. Come on, folks. You with me? And we see this the idea of the man and woman. The Bible makes it plain to us. That's likened unto the church. Everything that's natural. The Bible says that which is first is natural, and afterwards that which is spirit. What we learn and dive into in this natural world is nothing more than a prophecy or an imagery effect of that which is happening in the spirit realm. And it happens here in the natural world first, if you think about it. And so when we discover energy, we're discovering it from the first time in the spirit realm. When we discover the natural, the power of light, we discover it in the spirit realm because it hits the spirit realm. When we discover things that are likened, like the seed and the egg getting together, creating something, then we recognize the fact that we are seeds. We are seeds being planted with our thoughts and the things in which we want to produce and grow in our lives. Everything is likened unto something else. Everything is a mirroring effect of God himself. Everything flows down from the Father of lights, because it says all good things, not some good things. One of the things that I have a problem with, a lot of religious people who think they're not religious, and if you have to tell somebody, I'm not religious at all, really what you're saying is you are religious. It's the same scenario when we see people, when I did my my podcast this week on racism, and I said, if you say to yourself, I'm not racist, I have some black friends, you're pretty much racist. Think about that, folks. So for those who say, I'm not religious, what you're saying is you actually are religious. And I can hear it within 5 minutes of your language and 5 minutes of how you carry out that language. If I feel the weightiness on that language, then I know that you're worshiping more of a terminology and a language and a belief system and traditions more than you are the freedom of the power of a living God. So this is the things I want you to understand. This is why this ministry to me is so important. This is why we grow by leaps and bounds in this ministry. Hundreds and then thousands come on board of this ministry constantly. I kid you not, folks, because people are hungry. They're tired of the simplistic, general, stuff, and we don't want to water that down, because what churches and preachers give is life-giving. We so thank God for them. But on the other hand, though, you can't expect pastors to go into details of deep things, because they can't. They have a room full of people who basically are from the milk of the word to the meat of the word, the deep to the shallow. And so, no, we can't blame them necessarily. But we also, the only thing we do blame them for is causing their people, their sheep, their flock, to stay with just their language, just their belief system, and just what comes out of their mouth. That's what we fault them for. Because I will be the first one to tell you, I had a church for 15 years, successful at it, did great, had a friend of mine who worked as an apostle, I worked as a prophet, we rocked the house. We saw miracles take place. We saw stuff happening. And I realized even then that I can't hold people to just my beliefs. Even though I was flowing in revelational knowledge, it wasn't right. And to this very day, it's not right to hold you into a belief to say, I'm the one with the truth. No one else is. You've got to discover all this stuff for yourself, folks. You've got it in you. Don't be afraid to be a seeker of truth. Trust me, when you find it, it's life-giving, it's nourishment to you, and it's going to be sweet to the tongue, because that's what revelation is all about. So folks, thank you so much for tuning in today to the podcast. I want to encourage each and every one of you, please go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and I would first and foremost say, join the Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club. It's right there on the homepage, Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club, or you can call the office and say, I want to join this book club today. And every month, we'll be taking out $15 out of your account automatically, and you'll get the ebook with it free, you'll get free shipping, you'll get the workbooks and study guides as they come out free. You get the book for just $15, locked in that one price, which they're more expensive in, on the website as well. And it's just for those in the country here in USA. But if you happen to be in a different country, no worries. We can work out a splitting of the shipping, because everybody else in the U.S. gets free shipping. But those outside the U.S. will cut you a great deal, and will split your shipping cost pretty much almost in half, and take on the load of that while you pay the rest of it, because it's going to be a lot more expensive, and it wouldn't be worth us just to sell the book for $15. But for those in America, hey, sign up right now, okay? And if not, just order the book. If you say, I don't want to get on the book club, Jeremy, I want the book, then order the book Energy right now. And either order the book or the ebook. It's on the homepage right now. You can click on the banner and order this amazing, powerful book today. So thank you so much, folks, for tuning into this podcast of Thoughts Become Things. As always, do not forget, you can go today and create the life you've dreamed about. God is for you, and if God is for you, who can be against you? You've got the power of thought and energy and anointing from the Holy Spirit in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You've got what it takes today to make your life the success that God intended for you to have. But you got to take a step of faith and make it happen. So go today, create your day today the way God wants you to have it and live it. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.